And good afternoon. You're listening to Ken Hudnall. This is the Ken Hudnall Show. Coming to you from our studios right here in exciting El Paso, Texas. Gateway to the Old West. The most haunted city in the country. Well, today is February the 7th. 38th day of the year. 327 days remaining to the year is over with. Holidays and observances. National Girls and Women in Sports Day. National Signing Day. Wave all your fingers at your neighbor's day. Not just the middle finger. Rose Day. National Send a Card to a Friend Day. World Ballet Day. Independence Day in Grenada. National Fettuccine Alfredo Day. National Apprenticeship Day. International Networking Week. Women's Heart Week. Congenital Heart Defect Awareness Week. Feeding Tube Awareness Week. National School Counseling Week. Pride in Food Service Week. Boy Scouts Anniversary Week. Burn Awareness Week. Solo Diners Eat Out Week. National Patient Recognition Week. And African Heritage and Health Week. And Children's Mental Health Week. Birthdays, Ashton Kutcher, James Spader, Garth Brooks, who just died recently, Chris Rock. National Black History Month. Wait a minute. I'm sorry, it's not Garth Brooks, it's Toby Keith that just died. Canned Food Month. National Snack Food Month. National Children's Dental Health Month. Harley Quinn Month. National Embroidery Month. National Grapefruit Month. National Women Inventors Month. Great American Pie Month. International Vegan Cuisine Month. National Heart Month. National Cherry Month. National Bake for Family Fun Month. National Bird Feeding Month. National Hot Breakfast Month. National Library Lovers Month. Low Vision Awareness Month. National Fasting Month. And North American Inclusion Month. 457, Leo the First becomes the Eastern Roman Emperor. That morphed into the Byzantine Empire. 987, Bardas Phocas the Younger and Bardas Scaleros, Byzantine generals of the military elite, began a wide-scale rebellion against the Emperor Basil II. 1301, Edward of Carnarvon, later King Edward II of England, becomes the first English Prince of Wales. 1313, King Tihatua founds the Pinya Kingdom as the de jure successor state of the pagan kingdom. 1365, Albert III of Mecklenburg, that's King Albert of Sweden, grants city rights to Uvita. 1497, in Florence, Italy, supporters of Girolamo Savonarola burned cosmetics, art, and books in a bonfire of the vanities. 1756, Guarani War. Leader of the Guarani rebels, Seppi Tiarahu, is killed in a skirmish with Spanish and Portuguese troops. 1783, American Revolutionary War. French and Spanish forces lift a great siege of Gibraltar. It was an unsuccessful attempt by Spain and France to capture Gibraltar from the British during the American Revolution. Largest battle in the war by number of combatants alone. June 6, 1779, Spain entered the war on the side of France as a co-belligerent of the revolutionary United Colonies. The British base at Gibraltar was Spain's primary war aim. The Gibraltar garrison under George Augustus Elliot was blockaded from June 1779 to February 1783, initially by Spain alone and led by Martin Alvarez de Sotomayor. Blockade proved to be a failure because two relief convoys got in unmolested, the first under Admiral George Rodney in 1780 and the second under Admiral George Darby in 1781. That's despite the presence of the Spanish fleets. That same year, a major assault was planned by the Spanish, but the Gibraltar garrison sortied in November destroyed much of the forward batteries, which kind of took the steam out of the Spanish. 1795, the 11th amendment to the U.S. Constitution is ratified. It was an amendment passed by Congress March 4, 1794. Restricts the ability of individuals to bring suit against states in which are not citizens in federal court. 1807, Napoleonic Wars. Napoleon finds Bennigsen's Russian forces taking a stand at Eylau. After bitter fighting, the French take the town, but the Russians resume the battle the next day. 1812, the strongest in a series of earthquakes strikes New Madrid, Missouri. I've heard it said that's the largest earthquake in this hemisphere. 1813, action of February 7th, 1813, near the Les de Los, the frigates Artheus and Amelia batter each other, but neither can gain the upper hand. 1819, Sir Thomas Stamford Raffles leaves Singapore after just taking it over, leaving it in the hands of William Farquhar. 1842, Battle of Debre Tabor. Ras Ali Alula, regent of the Emperor of Ethiopia, defeats warlord Wubi Hali Mariam of Seman. 1854, laws approved to found the Swiss Federal Institute of Technology. Lectures start October 16, 1855. 1863, HMS Orpheus sinks off the coast of Auckland, New Zealand, killed 189. 1894, the Cripple Creek Miners' Strike, led by Western Federation of Miners, begins in Cripple Creek, Colorado. 1898, the Dreyfus Affair. Emile Zola is brought to trial for libel for publishing Jacques. 1900, Second Boer War. British troops fail in their third attempt to lift the siege of Ladysmith. 1900, Chinese immigrants in San Francisco falls ill to bubonic plague and the first plague epidemic in the continental United States. That's one thing about unrestricted immigration. You can count on new diseases popping up. 1904, a fire begins in Baltimore, Maryland, destroys over 1,500 buildings in just 30 hours. 1940, the second full-length animated Walt Disney film, Pinocchio, premieres on this date. 1943, World War II, Imperial Japanese Navy forces complete the evacuation of Imperial Japanese Army troops in Guadalcanal during the Operation Key, ending Japan's attempts to retake the island from the Allied forces in the Guadalcanal campaign. 1944, World War II, in Anzio, Italy, German forces launched a counteroffensive during the Allied Operation Shingle. For those that don't remember what Operation Shingle is, it was a basically the Battle of Anzio. It they were opposed by German and Italian Repubblica Sociale Italiana forces in the area of Anzio and Nettuno. They were going to outflank the German forces at the winter line and launch an attack against Rome. 1951, Korean War. More than 700 suspected communist sympathizers are massacred by South Korean forces. 1962, U.S. bans all Cuban imports and exports. The day before the ban went into effect, John Kennedy ordered several hundred Cuban cigars. 1974, Grenada gains independence from the UK. 1979, Pluto moves inside Neptune's orbit for the first time since either one was discovered. 1981, a plane crash at Pushkin Airport kills 50, including 16 members of the Pacific Fleet. 1984, Space Shuttle Program STS-41B. Astronauts Bruce McCandless II and Robert L. Stewart make the first untethered spacewalk using the Manned Maneuvering Unit. 1986, 28 years of one family rule end in Haiti when President Jean-Claude Duvalier flees the Caribbean nation. He was known as Baby Doc. His father was Papa Doc. 1990, dissolution of the Soviet Union. Central Committee of the Soviet Communist Party agrees to give up its monopoly on power. 1991, Haiti's first democratically elected president, Jean-Bertrand Aristide is sworn in. 1891, the Troubles. The Provisional IRA launches a mortar attack on 10 Downing Street in London, which is, of course, the headquarters of the British government. 1992, the Maastricht Treaty is signed, leading to the creation of the European Union. But shows signs of coming unraveled. 1995, Ramzi Youssef, mastermind of the 1993 World Trade Center bombing, is listed in Islamabad, Pakistan. The day that bomb went off, I was on the way to, my wife and I were on the way to World Trade Center. We stopped to get my sunglasses from, they're being repaired by an optometrist. He couldn't find them. When he did find them, we were stopped at this stop before the World Trade Center and told about the bombing that we couldn't go forward. Otherwise, we'd have been there. 1999, Crown Prince Abdullah becomes King of Jordan on the death of his father, King Hussein. 2001, Space Shuttle Program. Space Shuttle Atlantis is launched on mission STS-98, carrying the Destiny Laboratory module to International Space Station. 2009, bushfire wars in Victoria leave 173 dead in the worst natural disaster in Australia's history. 2012, President Mohamed Nasheed of the Republic of Maldives resigns after 23 days of anti-governmental protests calling for the release of the chief judge unlawfully arrested by the military. 2013, U.S. state of Mississippi officially certifies the 13th Amendment, becoming the last state to approve the abolition of slavery. It was formally ratified by Mississippi in 1995. 2014, scientists announced that the Happisburg footprints in Norfolk, England date back more than 800,000 years, making them the oldest known hominid footprints outside of Africa. 2016, North Korea launches Kwangyongsong 4 into outer space, violating multiple UN treaties and prompting condemnation from around the world. And in 2021, the 2021 Uttarakhand flood begins. It's also known as the Chamoli disaster, began in the environs of the Nanda Devi National Park in the outer Gwarthwa Himalayas in the Uttarakhand states of India, caused by a large rock and ice avalanche consisting of material dislodged from Ranti Peak. Left over 200 dead or missing. Most are workers at the Tabavan Dam site. Well, I got an email. I talk about ghosts and hauntings and some of my little adventures doing ghost tours for 20 years here. And I was asked, were there any place I had been in scary? And my response was disconcerting, yes. Scary, no. But there are some places on this world that are quite scary. We're going to talk about some of those. For example, let's talk about what's been referred to as the Voodoo Walmart. Eko Desawa Fetish Market in Togo. Buffalo skins, powdered chameleons, human skulls, dried cobras, dog paws. These are just a few of the treasures you can unearth at West Africa's fetish market, the largest voodoo bazaar in the world. Established in 1863, it's an open-air venue, also known as the Marché des Fetichures, spreads its wares over blocks in Lomé, the capital of the Republic of Togo. Now, originating in West Africa and later following the slave trade to Haiti, voodoo is an animalistic religion with a pantheon of Loa, supernatural beings who can intercede for good or ill in the lives of mortals. And no other markets offer the same talismans. Ekadisawa features on-site healers known as fetish priests who can supposedly cure what ails you by channeling the gods and offering prescriptions. Don't need health insurance. For example, want to try to improve your memory? Try a powdered mix of ebony seeds, chameleon, and monkey head. If nothing else, you'll remember that. And all this seems sinister to the uninitiated. One guide interviewed for the website Atlas Obscura said the market's magic is always white, not black. In other words, it's not used for evil purposes. No animals are harmed in the making of the mojo. In the wake of a government crackdown on poaching, for example, lion heads are strictly off limits. But you can use the heads of other creatures. It's like Western medicine, he said. When you don't find a specific product, you use the generic version. And certainly that could well be the case. Let's talk about Predjama Castle in Slovenia, known as the Halls of Horror. According to one employee of Slovenia's Predjama Castle, you can hear footsteps or voices talking behind that wall after the sun goes down. And if you're the last one, you have to go and check in the castle if there's anybody else there. First built in the 1200s in an abandoned Stone Age settlement on a cliff overlooking the river Lokva, this four-story castle contains remains of hidden passageways, holes for pouring boiling oil on attacking enemies, a treasure chest, and even a torture chamber. Its walls still hold corpses of enemies who were sealed inside and left to suffocate. According to one employee, nobody went down to collect them. Maybe they're the spirits that are talking in the walls. Over the centuries, such luminaries as the Knights of Edelsburg and Archduke Charles of Austria have called this rocky redoubt home, until it became a museum around World War II. It's still a popular tourist attraction today. But the castle's most prominent resident was probably the 15th century knight, Erasmus of Predjama, revered by local folks as a Slovenian Robin Hood, who rebelled against the aristocracy and was eventually betrayed by a servant and killed by the Emperor's men. Widely thought to be the source of much of the structure's psychic activity. Seems despite his death, he's never left what was his last earthly home. Well, let's talk about, and I've heard so many stories about this, Al Capone's prison, Eastern State Penitentiary in Philadelphia. According to Elena Mabasso, a former tour guide at Philadelphia's Eastern State Penitentiary, looked like a heat mirage, a large simmering up like blob that was moving slowly to the right. Now, she was talking about a supernatural sighting in the building cell block 4. The notorious site's also the source of a legend. And those details have grown fuzzy over the years. At some point, an employee known as Gary the Locksmith was working in the cell when he felt a terrible pressure on his chest, as if a powerful man was gripping him from behind. Now, when he turned around, nobody was there, but he later discovered that an inmate had murdered a guard in that very same spot. Now it's a historic landmark, but the penitentiary was established in 1829 by Quakers who believed the key to rehabilitating criminals was enforced isolation. Didn't quite work out that way, of course. Forced to wear masks to deter communication, a lot of inmates went mad, were subjected to torture, or even committed suicide. And where there's misery and violent death, ghosts aren't far behind. Penitentiary's most infamous resident was Al Scarface Capone, reportedly thought that he was haunted by a victim of his 1929 St. Valentine's Day massacre. And the sightings continue to this day. One tour guide passed the closed doors of cell block 12, only to find them standing wide open a short time later. Some visitors have followed mysterious voices, whispers and giggling, and found nothing. Though the penitentiary's administrators take pains to distance the site from the spooky reputation, they do host terror behind the walls on elaborate horror house every autumn. One guy told NPR, "We don't claim the prison is haunted, but we do run a haunted attraction." Of course, with Al Capone, anything is possible. And let's talk about what's known as the Vampire Graveyard. The Plague Islands in Italy. You know, in 2009, University of Florence anthropologists unearthed a female vampire skull, complete with a brick shoved in its mouth. I've known a few that I'd like to shove a brick in their mouth. They were found in a mass grave on La Rosetta Nuovo Island in the Venice Lagoon, dating from 1576. The grave contained victims of a plague that literally decimated Venice that year. Some of the deceased, Venetians believed, were vampires, also called shroud eaters, because bacteria in the victims' mouths corroded the cloth that covered their faces, which of course exposed their teeth. According to anthropologist Matteo Barini, to kill the vampire, you had to remove the shroud from its mouth, which was its food, and like the milk of a child, and put something uneatable in there, like a brick. As I read on the web, it wasn't the only plague burial ground in the Venetian Lagoon. 1432, the city had established its first quarantine hospital on another island, as I read over Reccio, filled with ceaseless groans and foul odors and smoke from burning corpses. Was, according to one contemporary account, like hell itself. After the plague hit the city even harder in 1576 and again in 1630, thousands of infected people were sent to other Venetian islands, including Faviglia, located between Venice and Lido. Unlike the Lazaretto Islands, which now feature guided tours, Faviglia remains uninhabited, overgrown, and shunned. And it may well be haunted. The island's most famous apparition is Little Maria, the ghost of a young plague victim who allegedly stands at the water's edge on moonless nights crying out for her parents. 1920s, the opening of an insane asylum on Faviglia led to the legend that an evil doctor prone to administering brutal medical experiments had fallen from the island's bell tower under mysterious circumstances. Following the closing of the institution in 1968, Faviglia was completely abandoned. Untouched by both fishermen and gondoliers, the island was put up for auction by the cash-strapped Italian government in 2014. An Italian businessman eventually paid $704,000, but the sale was subsequently annulled when the government decided they didn't get enough for the island. The businessman was hoping to build a luxury hotel, which might have displaced Little Maria, but then again, she would have had new places to search for her missing parents. Well, let's go to Raynham Hall in England, known as the Brown Lady's Lair. And the first recorded sightings of Raynham Hall's famous ghost occurred during a 1835 Christmas gathering at the Norfolk, England estate. Two guests claimed they saw an aristocratic brown lady. They named her that because of the color of her brocade dress. But they saw her as they approached their bedrooms one night. Next evening, one of them glimpsed the female phantom once more, but this time he noticed the gaping black holes where her eyes should have been. Not surprising, some of the house's servants resigned shortly after that. Supposedly the ghost of Lady Dorothy Townsend, whose jealous husband kept her imprisoned in the hall until her death in 1726. The brown lady was seen again in 1836 by novelist Captain Frederick Marryat, trying to prove that the revenant was in fact a hoax perpetrated by local smugglers to keep people away. The writer came face to face with the ghost, according to his daughter. The figure halted of its own accord before the door behind which he stood, and holding the lighted lamp she carried to her features, he grinned in a malicious and diabolical manner at him. Well, the world at large didn't glimpse this putative phantom until 1936, when a photographer and his assistant were documenting the hall for Crinkered Life magazine. While setting up a shot, the assistant said they saw a vapory form gradually assuming the appearance of a woman coming down the wooden staircase. Well, the resulting photograph was promptly published in the magazine and remains, despite hoax allegations, the most famous spirit photograph in history. Though if you look at my book, Haunted Hotels, there's another picture of a ghost on the cover. That was taken by the manager and sent to me, since he knew I had an interest in ghost. Well, let's go to the Tower of London in England. Well, supposedly, Tower of London night watchman Arthur Crick had stopped on his rounds to rest his feet when he heard a voice. And he was the only one there. And he heard a voice that said, "There's only you and I here." And Crick is supposed to have responded, "Well, wait, get my shoes back on. There's only going to be you here." Well, the complex of towers on the River Thames, now home to everything from the crown jewels to an axe probably used in the last public beheading on Tower Hill, is widely considered the most haunted building in England. Construction of the tower began in 1066 under my ancestor, William the Conqueror. Not surprising, the most storied part of the structure is the oldest part, the White Tower. And it's where the ghost known as the White Lady wanders. Her perfume often smelled in the entrance to the Chapel of St. John's. Headless ghost said to be that of Anne Boleyn is sometimes seen near the Queen's House, close to where she was executed on Tower Green, and the nine-day queen, Lady Jane Grey, was reportedly spotted by guards February 12, 1957. That was the 403rd anniversary of her death by execution. English royalty had a habit of ignoring divorces. They just cut the heads of their wives off. Maybe saddest of all, the race of Edward IV's young sons, Edward V and Richard. 1483, they were sent to the tower after being declared illegitimate by their uncle Richard, who they also had him murdered. Their uncle went on to become King Richard III, who, 1674, the skeletons of two young boys were discovered beneath the staircase. But the brothers' spirits continued to be seen in their white nightgowns, clutching each other in terror. Sometimes being born to a high estate is not a good thing. Let's go to Hoia Pajia Forest in Romania, known as the Transylvania-Bermuda Triangle. Afternoon of August 18, 1968, military technician Emil Barnia and his girlfriend were picnicking in the Round Meadow. It's an area of the Hoia Pajia Forest in Cluj, Romania, when they noticed a slow, silent, silvery disc in the sky. Grabbing his camera, he took some pictures that single-handedly launched Romania's UFO studies. Led to the forest's reputation as an interdimensional hotspot. Known as Bermuda Triangle, Romania, Cluj lies near the foothills of the Apuseni Mountains in the country's Transylvania region. After a four-hour drive from Bran Castle, the inspiration for the Dracula legend, Hoia Pajia is filled with oddly gnarled trees straight out of a fairy tale illustration. But its reputation rests on distinctly otherworldly phenomena, red lights, orbs, disembodied voices, and apparitions, allegedly reflecting the restless spiritual Romanian peasants who were murdered in the woods. One of the most popular legends involves a five-year-old girl who disappeared in the forest, only to reappear years later dressed in the same clothes she was wearing when she vanished. I would have thought she would have grown in that time period, but then again. Then there's the bride, the ghost of a missing woman who supposedly prowls the woods in her wedding dress, probably looking for her groom. Despite its fearsome reputation, Hoia Pajia remains a popular spot for hiking and paintball and archery. But visitors should consider bringing bassitration. Wanderers in these woods have allegedly been subject to strange rashes and scratches, and the Round Meadow where Bernie aspired his UFO supposedly hosts its own horrors. Some claim that nothing can live there because the ground's been charred by interstellar radiation.
other words, if you picnic there, you may encounter UFOs, but you won't have to worry about aunts. Or uncles, either, for that matter. Well, let's talk about a place I spent an interesting week. The Queen Mary. Which is permanently docked in Long Beach, California. And let me tell you, it's a great place to spend some time. You know, years after the legendary Queen Mary luxury liner was permanently docked in its as a hotel and tourist attraction in Long Beach, a maritime engineer named John Smith had an unsettling experience while working aboard the ship late one night. In a deserted staircase, he heard the sound of water rushing and men screaming. The subsequent investigation showed nobody was there. Later, he learned that in 1942, the liner was used in World War II when it collided with its companion ship, HMS Karakoa, on its way to Little Rock in Scotland. Karakoa was immediately sheared in two and sank, killed 338 men. The area where Smith heard that mysterious water rushing and the men screaming was the exact area that was damaged when the ship hit Karakoa. It's not surprising that a nearly 80-year-old ship with more than 1,000 ocean crossings and numerous deaths upon it would have a reputation for being haunted. Beginning as a luxury liner in 1936, the Queen Mary was retrofitted as a battle cruiser for World War II and dubbed the Grey Lady, or the Grey Ghost. Many German and Italian POWs likely died on the liner, as did soldiers from heat stroke traveling in the Mediterranean. These days, the ship's most haunted spots include B deck, where a World War II morgue and an isolation room are located, the engine room, the green room, various staterooms, an area known as Shaft Alley, and the former first-class pool area, which is home to Little Jackie, the ship's most famous ghost. I was turned loose to investigate when they found out I was writing a book about it. I had a very attractive guide take me all through that ship, and there are places on there you'd never imagined existed. Little Jackie's playful and talkative, and her voice has been allegedly caught many times on tape. Sadly, she's said to remain on the ship because she's looking for her mother, and sometimes you can hear her calling her mother. Of course, the Grand Ship capitalizes on its spooky reputation by offering haunted tours, interactive attractions, and seances. Even a dinner special called Dining with the Spirits, which allows the ship's patrons to pair paranormal investigations with, shall we say, more earthbound spirits. There was one area that when the doors were shut was pitch black, and you could hear movement in the darkness. Never found anybody, though. Well, let's talk about the Road of the Dead from La Paz, Curalico, Bolivia. If you think your commute's bad, consider driving along Camino de Yungas, a perilously narrow thoroughfare that runs 40 miles from La Paz, Bolivia's capital, to the western city of Curalico. Called the world's most dangerous road, it reaches a height of 15,000 feet. Through the Andes Cordilleras, its sheer cliffs, waterfalls, and hairpin turns, often obscured by dust and vegetation and cloud forest. Not to mention unpredictable weather. There's a new, less perilous route linking the regions that was opened in 2006, but the old road, reportedly once the site of 200 to 300 deaths a year, is still used. Wooden and stone markers mark the spots where travelers reach the end of their own roads, though locals believe their restless spirits remain. Darren Patterson, general manager of Gravity Bolivia, which organizes mountain biking expeditions, said the stray dogs that roam the old road are said to be the souls of the people that died there. So the locals always feed them. One man said he passed an old woman walking on the road that night and stopped to give her a lift. She got in the back seat, and as they were talking, he looked in the rearview mirror, and she was gone. I've heard that story in a number of other places I've been. For protection, road warriors traditionally make offerings to Pachamama, goddess revered in the Andes, is the Camino's highest point. They give her a few sprinkles of alcohol, also called Pachamama because it's used to honor her. A lot of drivers keep a big bottle in their cars. And it'd be an interesting place to take a tour. Not necessarily a road tour, but certainly a tour. Let's go to Kangeom Psychiatric Hospital in South Korea. Also known as the Maze of Madness. You know, the ruins of the Gangnam Psychiatric Hospital have been moldering in South Korea's Gyeonggi-gi province since the mid-1990s when the structure was abandoned for unexplained reasons. Some suggest plumbing problems or financial improprieties were to blame, but urban legend claims the institution is plagued by a series of strange deaths, result of horrifying medical experiments that were eventually traced to a homicidal doctor who promptly fled to America. Went to work for the VA. Now the ramshackle ruins are filled with the mildewed mattresses, broken windows, and Korean and English graffiti, and a single word kills the simplest and most chilling of these graffiti markers. Thanks in part to its sinister appearance, Gangnam has become known as one of the three most haunted sites in South Korea, the others being a house filled with disembodied voices in rural old Yongdeok, and the Nuban Garden Restaurant, which allegedly closed because ghosts drove the owners out. It's not entirely accurate to call the hospital abandoned because, like many places, it's become a frequent destination for trespassers and urban thrill seekers. Though most of them don't uncover supernatural secrets, some report they've been scratched by unseen entities as they walk through these halls. Scratches could have come from ghostly patients wanting to get attention, or stray cats, or even broken windows. But they tend to swear that they were just there when they left. Well, let's go to Amiji Castle in Japan, the Screaming Ghost Well. Early 17th century, during Japan's Edo period, a girl named Okiku served the lord of Amiji Castle, which stood on a hill overlooking its namesake city in Hyogo Prefecture. She was tasked, so the story goes, with guarding her master's priceless gold plates. But she wanted a lot more. She'd fallen in love with her lord. Given her humble station, she couldn't dream of revealing her true feelings, but she remained nothing if not devoted. Well, she overheard fellow servants plotting her lord's murder, so she told him about the plot. Seeking revenge, one of the conspirators stole one of the precious gold plates and convinced the lord of the castle that Okiku was a thief. Well, he promptly had the girl killed and her body thrown into the castle's well. But Okiku's lovelorn spirit didn't rest in peace. Every night between 2 and 3 in the morning, her ghost rose from the well and then screamed as she counted the plates. 1, 2, 3, all the way up to 10. Well, unnerved, the sleepless lord reinvestigated the events that preceded her execution. When he finally learned the truth, he went off the rails. He became insane. But that's the legend. Consider the most beautiful castle in Japan at the 400-year-old Himeji, which is a UNESCO World Heritage Site, remains on its hill overlooking its namesake city, where some still claim to hear Okiku screaming as she counts the gold plates from 2 to 3 in the morning. You don't need an alarm clock if you got Okiku. Well, let's talk about some paranormal places, such as the sinister statues in Parikkala Sculpture Park in Finland. The early 1960s, 16-year-old Vijo Ronkonen used his first paycheck from a Parikkala paper mill to buy, of all things, apple tree seedlings in the back of concrete. Oh, this simple, unexpected act kicked off this humble man's 50-year obsession. The creation of some 500 concrete sculptures to populated an airy garden on the grounds of the home where he lived with his parents near Finland's Russian border. Grotesque, unreal, and often downright frightening, his folk art shows animals and aliens and people with lifeless, missing eyes and sometimes real human teeth. Certain figures seem to be self-portraits, including a series of young men in yoga poses that reportedly reflect and artistically preserve Rokonin's youthful body. But the reclusive sculptor who died in 2010 never imagined the work itself would last. What's more, he didn't care if anybody saw it. When asked what he hoped would happen to his statues, he said he wanted to be buried like China's terracotta army to guard his resting place. Equally uninterested in money or fame, instead of charging visitors, he simply asked him to sign the guest book. In 2007, he refused to claim a prestigious Finnish prize, stating he didn't want to leave his house. His brother accepted it for him. Spurred by his growing reputation, collectors, curators, and inevitably came calling, asking if he would sell or lend his works. And his response? Well, he said he'd have to check with the statues first, see if they wanted to go, and apparently they all said no. Well, there's a lot of strange things in, that came out of the Russian Empire, one of which is found in Buzluza Monument in Bulgaria. It's known as Russia's ruined UFO. In 1968, Buzluza Peak in Bulgaria's central Balkan Mountains was a site of a bloody battle between Bulgarian rebels and the Turks who'd conquered the country in the 14th century. Nearly three decades after that fight, the peak was the location of a secret socialist meeting that led to the founding of the country's Communist Party. Now, commemorating these events, Bulgaria's Soviet government ordered the construction of the House Monument of the Bulgarian Communist Party on the site in 1974. Well, when this odd UFO-like structure finally opened as a party assembly hall in 1981, it instantly became the most important building in Bulgaria. And as concrete monuments in the communism go, it was a lavish affair, filled with statues and mosaics and murals representing Lenin and Marx and a red star-shaped window celebrating what else? Mother Russia. But after the collapse of the Soviet Union in 1989, less than a decade after the monument was built, the structure was abandoned to the elements. Now the isolated ruin looms on the high, windswept peak like something out of Interstellar or Alien. It's vandalized artwork replaced by graffiti, including Enjoy Communism, written in the style of the Coca-Cola logo. Despite its remote location, the dilapidated site's become a magnet for intrepid explorers in this place where men once fought for what they thought was the greater good. The Buzluza Monument definitely symbolizes how times and ideologies have changed, according to one Bulgarian tour guide. Some time ago, it was the most important building in Bulgaria. Look at it now. Well, let's go to Templo Mayor in Mexico, also known as the Temple of Death. 1978, electrical workers digging in Mexico City's historic center uncovered an 8-ton stone carving of the Aztec goddess. I couldn't begin to pronounce it properly, but I'm going to make an effort. Coyoacoalcoy, suspecting a major archaeological find, the Mexican government controversially decided to destroy this site's Spanish colonial buildings and solve the subterranean mystery. This led to the discovery of the ruins of the Templo Mayor, also known as a Great Temple in Tenochtitlan, the Aztec city founded in 1325, dedicated to Huitzilopochtli, the god of war, and Tlaloc, the god of rain. The Templo Mayor was the Aztec's Axis Mundi, like a giant altar where human sacrifices are made to the gods. Perfect offering consisted of the flesh and bones of the Aztecs' enemies. The heads were war trophies that were boiled and cleaned, and the insides were eaten before the skulls were set on the stone altars. Well, the fun and games ended when the Spanish conquistador Hernan Cortes arrived in 1519, destroying the Aztec civilization shortly after and uncovering the covering the temple area, which is now a UNESCO World Heritage Site, with structures and such as the Metropolitan Cathedral, that likely cover further ruins. In fact, recent excavations found a tower made of more than 60,000 skulls near Templo Mayor, a monument to ancient murder in a modern megalopolis. Well, let's go to Kasanka National Park in Africa. The Bat Sanctuary. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Every October, roughly 10 million fruit bats leave their sanctuaries in Senegal or Cameroon and wing their way to Kasanka National Park in Zambia. There, beginning at dusk each day, the creatures turn the sky above the park's Mushitu Swamp, writhing black as they feast on wild loquat, waterberry, and red milkwood. Every dawn, these tired creatures hang upside down from trees in order to sleep off their feast. To December, when the bats disappear as abruptly as they arrived. Largest mammal migration in the world, the annual bat flight to Kasanka, was long threatened by persistent poaching until wildlife began to rebound after private owners took control of the area around 1990. These particular bats aren't out to suck your blood. They only eat fruit. But that's small reassurance for those who fear creatures of the night. So-called flying foxes, their bodies are a yellowish-brown, the color of straw, make these screeching noises bats are known for as they fly and have an average wingspan of about 3 feet. That's more than three times the size of the little brown bats that you probably find in your hometown Bell Belfry. Plus, there are millions of them. Dracula himself only turned into one, and your average haunted house is host to a few hundred at most. All in all, the Kasanka event is a spectacle straight out of a chiroptophobic's nightmare, or maybe an Alfred Hitchcock movie. In fact, it'd be even creepier than the birds. Can you imagine the bats? Let's talk about the Nazi parade grounds in Germany, also known as Hitler's Laceland. 1933, Adolf Hitler, Germany's newly appointed chancellor, declared Nuremberg the city of Nazi Party rallies and kicked off the construction of a parade ground on more than 4 square miles of converted parkland in the southeast part of the city. And though the dictator's plans were typically grandiose, most of the construction was halted when World War II began, 1939, and the complex was never finished. Today, according to Alexander Smith, a historian at the site's documentation center, only three elements still exist in various states of decay. The partly completed Congress Hall, the largest surviving relic of Nazi architecture, the Great Street, which became a parking space after 1945, and the Zeppelin Field, the first and only finished area where Hitler rallied thousands from his rostrum with his poisonous invective. His favorite architect, Albert Speer, promised that the ground's monuments would last 1,000 years. But the site's now covered with litter, overgrown with grass, and fenced off with signs reading danger of collapse. 1973, the area was declared a historic monument, posing an ongoing problem for local officials. Should they preserve it or treat it as a piece of contaminated ground, it should be left to nature, in the words of a member of Nuremberg's Architectural Council. Around 2015, Nuremberg's mayor proposed renovating the grounds at a cost of millions, a controversial decision, to say the least. One city resident told Britain's Daily Mail, better to let it crumble. And in one day, if its master builder and one of the most successful mass murderers of all time should make it out of hell to look at what he created, he can see nothing but a pile of rubble. And certainly that is an interesting philosophy. Well, from a Nazi monument, let's talk about, shall we say, creepy cemeteries. Capuchin Crypt in Italy, known as the Monk's Mausoleum. In the crypt beneath Santa Maria della Concezione, a Capuchin church in Rome's Via Veneto neighborhood, 5 chapels are decorated with the bones of 4,000 monks who died between 1528 and 1870. One room is devoted to skulls, another to leg bones, another to pelvises, all of which are arranged in intricate and elaborate displays, as if by some macabre Martha Stewart. Of course, some intact skeletons are displayed in traditional brown Capuchin robes. For centuries, the buildings of bone churches and memorials was common throughout the world. Italy, you'll find them in Naples and Sicily and Milan, among other locations. But for contemporary people accustomed to avoiding the reality of death, these sites can be as difficult to understand as they are to stomach. According to the Empire of Death by Paul Kudarnar, American tourists look at Concepcion's decor and exclaim, these are all monks? What did they do to be punished like this? But in actuality, these displays are said to actually honor the man whose remains are transferred to the site after the Capuchins relocated in 1631. Their scattered presence on the walls is sacred memento mori, or a reminder of death. One chilling crypt plaque reads, "What you are now, we once were. We are now, you shall be." Because, as has been said, the only two things that are certain are death and taxes. Taxes more than death. The crypt is said to have inspired the Sedlec ossuary outside of Prague. Deeply affected such writers as the Marquis de Sade, who wrote he'd never seen anything more striking. Mark Twain referred to the crypt's picturesque horrors in The Innocents Abroad, and Nathaniel Hawthorne wrote in The Marble Faun that the site had no disagreeable scent such as might have been expected from the decay of so many holy persons. Same number of living monks wouldn't smell half so unexceptionally. And that's probably a very good point. Well, on that note, we come to the end of today's show. We'll be back tomorrow. And once again, we'll be talking about the strange and the unusual. Until then, this is Ken Hudnall for the Ken Hudnall Show, saying have a truly great evening.